Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege we have of turning to your word now. I ask that you would speak to us, that you would help us to be molded in your image. In the name of Christ, amen. There was an article in Time magazine in January of 2016. January of 2016, that was a good, or some might say a bad, 4 years ago, 5 years ago. The article is entitled, "Why Americans Are So Angry About Everything." I quote from the article, "Americans are angry. They are angry about school shootings and taxes and mistreatment and undeserved privilege and discrimination and government. There are differences between groups, but the overall presence of rage is clear. Why are Americans so angry? All of us, whatever group, live some version of a theory identified almost a century ago that sees history as an ever-increasing march to enlightenment. If you believe that things should get better and better, then it is infuriating when they do not. In many ways, modern life is indeed better than it has ever been in the past. Report after report reaffirms this improvement. But the theory carries its own dangers. The improvement in world health may not mean much to me if my own health care is less comprehensive than it was 10 years ago. We have instant access to every catastrophe in the world, and so we obsess over creating perfect security. Extravagant lifestyles are paraded through our living rooms each night, so it becomes difficult to be satisfied with our ample but still comparatively modest means. Much of our frustration rises in an age of unlimited expectation when atrocities and injustices are constantly paraded before our eyes. Particularly galling is our understanding of unfairness. From childhood, the sense that someone has received more than we have arouses anger. This is a danger whenever goods are unevenly distributed, as they are in every society that has ever existed. In modern capitalist economies, the resentment is exacerbated by vast wealth and everyone's easy glimpse into the worlds of the haves. The article concludes with this: angry people are poor communicators and even worse listeners. Their empathy is short-sighted, their empathy is foreshortened, and they have trouble imagining the other's point of view. It makes people less healthy, and when both parties are angry, fewer are likely to find middle ground. End quote. That was Time magazine 5 years ago. Before Antifa, before Proud Boys, before BLM, before the riots of last year, before the Capitol riots of last month. It does not seem as though our anger has waned. A psychologist has noted anger management is a shockingly underdeveloped skill in our society. I'm not sure it took a psychologist to make that conclusion. Anger management is a shockingly underdeveloped skill in our society. It seems like everyone is mad. And sometimes it seems like we are mad. The injustice of someone pulling out in front of us only to slow us down when they want to make a left turn two blocks later. Why do people do that? I just want to give them the Hawaiian good luck symbol. You know, that wave with one finger extended? We're angry. And we shouldn't be surprised that anger is wrecking our relationships, our communities, and our nation. It's actually exactly what Solomon predicted when he penned what we call the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 29, verse 22, "A man of wrath stirs up strife, and one given to anger causes much transgression." Solomon has a lot to say about anger, and not much of it is good. The Apostle Paul, on the other hand, says in Ephesians 4, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil." I think Solomon would have said, good luck with that, because few of us are truly able to put our anger to bed every night. Or if we do, we wake it back up in the morning. We live in a perpetual state of anger. So this is what Solomon has to say about anger. First, be warned. Anger is dangerous. Anger is foolish. Proverbs 29:11. "A fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back." Anger leads us to act poorly. Will Rogers said, "People who fly into a rage always make a bad landing." Solomon put it this way, Proverbs 14:17. "A man of quick temper acts foolishly, and a man of evil devices is hated." Not only does anger lead you to act like a fool, it causes others to hate you. Solomon goes on in Proverbs 14:29. "Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly." While there are certainly reasons for us to get angry, there is such a thing as righteous anger. Jesus himself was apparently angry as he cleansed the temple of those who made his father's house a place of commerce rather than a place of prayer. And Paul obviously believed all anger was not sin, but still, a life filled with anger is an unappealing life. Be warned, your anger is dangerous. Most of our anger has to do with feeling that our rights have been violated. Our anger often has to do with feelings of jealousy that someone else had got something that we thought we deserved. They were too privileged, that life was unfair to us. Most of you know that I am a part of a pen turners organization, the International Association of Pen Turners. And every year we have these contests. And every year, most everyone loses because there can only be one first place prize for each of the categories. And the contest has just finished. And one of the men who submitted a pen, which was a phenomenal pen, but he submitted in the wrong category and very few people voted for it. Just to be honest, I submitted a pen to the same contest and I came in 9th out of 10. So he was a number of steps above me. And he wrote and said, "What's wrong with my pen? Why didn't people vote for me?" And he's very frustrated that he keeps entering these contests and he doesn't win. It's easy to get angry if we don't win. Life is unfair. And it's easy to get angry when we think life isn't fair. But that's not righteous anger. That is just sin. Anger stored in your heart against someone tends to show itself in sin. It comes out in gossip and slander and foolishness. Solomon says, be warned. Anger is dangerous. Out of this understanding, Solomon would tell us to be wary. Way back in the early 1970s, my life was transformed. It was transformed beginning on the first day of school, my sophomore year of high school, when I had that encounter where I began to attend church and I found a place where there was love, acceptance, and forgiveness. But at that time, there was a little paperback put out, I think, by the Billy Graham Association called Words of Wisdom. It was simply one chapter of the book of Proverbs with five psalms organized in 31 chapters. And I was given that, and I began to read it. You see, in the early 1970s, I was a particularly angry young teenager. Society would tell you that I had plenty of reason to be angry. My life was in turmoil. As a second grader, I spent what seemed like hours hiding in a closet from my father. My brother and I had done something stupid. It was something which was probably deserving of some sort of punishment. We actually went in the carport in our birthday suits and did what second and third grade boys sometimes do. We thought it was kind of funny to be out there naked, and we did jumping jacks, screaming, oh, look at that. We had a blast until Dad came home. He came home and he met my brother at the door and he punched him, knocked him over. I turned and ran, climbed onto the shelf in my closet and hid out of abject fear of what my father was going to do to me. My brother had a massive black eye that was blamed on me because that's what we did. You go to school and you tell the teacher that your brother hit you, that it's Steve's fault. Just lie. Once my siblings and I were required to sit upright in hard kitchen table chairs until one of us confessed to eating a piece of cake without permission. To this day, I have to get permission to eat a piece of cake on the counter. It was a piece of cake which we as siblings are convinced my father ate. Things like this, along with the often daily fist fights between my parents, made me a pretty angry young man. But then Jesus got a hold of me. I started reading Words of Wisdom, a chapter from the book of Proverbs and five Psalms every day for 6 to 9 months of my life. And I had a problem. You see, there was a young girl in the youth group that I took a fancy to, and she was connected to God. She was serious about her faith, and I wanted to date her. But the more I read what Solomon had to say about angry people, I realized that I had no right to ask her out. I used the New American Standard at the time, and it translates Proverbs 22:24 this way. Do not make friends with a person given to anger, or go with a hot-tempered person. If she was going to take seriously Scripture, she wasn't going to go out with me. She shouldn't even be my friend, much less date me. Be wary of angry people. It was a sobering thought. Solomon told anyone who would listen to him, to be wary of befriending me. And that wasn't the only verse in his writings where basically he said the same thing. Be wary of an angry man. Proverbs 29, verses 8 and 9. Scoffers set a city aflame, but the wise turn away wrath. If a wise man has an argument with a fool, the fool only rages and laughs, and there is no quiet. Be wary of an angry man. Proverbs 19:19, a man of great wrath will pay the penalty. For if you deliver him, you will only have to do it again. Be wary of an angry man. Proverbs 21, verse 9. It is better to live in a corner of the housetop than in a house shared by a quarrelsome wife. Now, before you think, man, what's up with Solomon being so sexist? Look at Proverbs 26, 20 and 21. It makes it clear that it's not just quarrelsome wives that are a problem. For lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases. As charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. Beware of befriending an angry, quarrelsome man. An angry man will lead you into crisis and sin. Proverbs 29:22. A man of wrath stirs up strife, and one given to anger causes much transgression. Anger is overwhelming. Proverbs 27, verse 4. Anger produces strife. Proverbs 30, verse 33. Read all that Solomon has to say about anger, and you will be wary of an angry man. Proverbs 22, 24 to 25 again. Make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man, lest you learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare. Be warned, your anger isn't going to do you any good. Be wary of building friendships with angry people. That leads us to Solomon's final word on anger, which is simply, be wise. Learn to control your anger. I've known people who have excused their anger, saying that they were just born that way, saying they believed their anger was always righteous, that their environment created in them this ongoing anger. I've known people who have used their anger to manipulate those around them, while those around them have cowered in fear. Be wise. Anger is not a good way to lead. I'm going to give you four ways to control your anger. These, I believe, all come from the book of Proverbs. But it's not a formula for instant quelling of the angry emotions which take hold of your spirit. This is a discipline which must be practiced daily. It took me the better part of a year of reading Proverbs and Psalms on a regular basis to begin to grasp the importance of being wise about anger. And it generally works. Honestly, there are times when I fail and I still get angry. Unfortunately, I won't eliminate all my anger until I go home. But here's four steps to controlling your anger. First, develop a long fuse. Proverbs 16, verse 32. Whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty. He who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. Being slow to anger is actually a choice. A practice choice, to be sure, but a choice nevertheless. We choose whether we will allow things to inflame us. We develop a long fuse when we pinch it off right away. And you can practice this on your way home from church today, because invariably somebody is going to be a stupid driver. It might be you. But somebody is going to do something stupid, and you have a choice to make every time that happens. I have a choice to make every time that happens. Will I focus on it and say, oh, man, what kind of person does that thing? Really? You're going to turn left in front of me after you nearly cut me off a block before I got there? Couldn't you have waited? There's nobody behind me for like four blocks. Or you can say, you know what? This doesn't really matter. He's driving, I'm driving. Develop a long fuse. Psalms 37 says, refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. This is where that old trick of counting to 10 might help. Sometimes we might need to count to 100. Sometimes you might need to count backwards from 100 by threes. I actually practice this. It's relatively easy to count backwards from 100, 100, 99, 98, 97, 96, 95. I can get through that pretty quickly. Then you go 100, 98, 96, 94, 92, 90, 88, 87, you know. And then, but then you start going to the weird ones. 100, 97, 94, 91, 88, 85, 82, 79, 76, 73, 70, 6, you know, it makes you think. And you, counting backwards might be what you have to do to help yourself develop a long fuse. And then you know what eventually happens? You get sick of counting backwards. You get sick of just counting to 10. You say, forget it. I know what's going to happen here. I'm going to not be angry, so I might as well just not get angry in the first place. Ecclesiastes 7:9 says, be quick, but be not quick in your spirit to become angry, for anger lodges in the heart of fools. James puts it this way. Let every person be quick to hear and slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. The first step to controlling your anger is choosing to develop a long fuse. Second, mind your own business. Just mind your own business. Proverbs 26, whoever meddles in a quarrel not his own is one, like one who takes a passing dog by the ears, like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death. You know, the reality is you don't have to fight every battle. You don't have to right every wrong. You don't have to live for the You have to live for the glory of Christ and seek to impact those in your circle of influence to see Him, but you don't have to right every wrong. It's not to say that there isn't a place for social justice, because there certainly is. There is a place for believers in Christ to seek to mold public policy and public thought on issues of social justice. However, we do not have to correct every wrong. We just ought to seek it without resorting to anger. We control our anger when we choose to mind our own business. Just stop meddling in other people's business. Don't pick up an affront that isn't yours. Mind your own business. The third step towards controlling your anger, learn to walk away. Proverbs 17:14. The beginning of strife is like letting out water, so quit before the quarrel breaks out. Remember, Proverbs says, a soft answer turns away wrath, a harsh word stirs up anger. Just don't be guilty of giving the harsh word and then walking away. Walk away before harsh words. A wise man walks away from strife. Use whatever you have to. If you think, you know, it's no use arguing with a two-year-old and that lets you walk away, call me a two-year-old if you have to. Just learn to walk away. Solomon says in Proverbs 20, verse 3, it is an honor for a man to keep aloof from strife, but every fool will be quarreling. Be wise. Learn to walk away. We don't have to engage every fight. We can just walk away. The final step to controlling your anger is this. Embrace forgiveness. Proverbs 19, verse 11. Good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. Embrace forgiveness. Just overlook an offense. Most people aren't intentionally offensive. I was in a hospital once with an elderly gentleman who was in the, who I was there visiting this elderly gentleman, and he was 96, I think, at the time. And he grew up in a different generation than I did. He grew up in a different generation than most of us, with the exception of our young lady here. He grew up in a generation where calling someone, I can't even hardly say the words, but he used racial stereotypes. And there was a nurse who was the recipient of his racial stereotype. And I watched as he talked with him, and I felt for this young man who had been insulted by a 96-year-old World War II veteran. And I determined, once I left that room, I was going to find that nurse, and I was going to apologize for my friend. So I did, and there was an amazing thing that happened. I said, you know, I just want to apologize. He's 96, he's losing his mind, and I've known him for 20-odd years, and he didn't mean to insult you. And the guy says, no big deal. I didn't take it as negative. I took into consideration the fact he's lying on his deathbed and he said something stupid and it wasn't meant to hurt me, and I just forgave him. That's the decision we need to make. That we will embrace forgiveness. We will overlook an offense. How often do we overlook offenses? As often as necessary. When we are wronged, we are tempted to let our anger flare. Solomon says, fools give full vent to their rage, but the wise will bring calm in the end. Benjamin Franklin said, whatever is begun in anger ends in shame. Knowing that our anger does not produce the righteousness of God, but rather results in shame, it is far better for us to simply embrace forgiveness. Forgiveness is actually something we're supposed to be known for anyway. When Jesus hung on the cross, he had every reason to be angry. Unjustly accused, unfairly condemned, crucified without cause, all of his rights had been violated. He had plenty of reason to be angry, but instead he said this, Father, forgive them. Be warned. Our anger is dangerous. Be wary. Avoid angry people. Be wise. Control your anger. It is the Christ-like way to live. Let's pray. Almighty God, I ask again that you remove from my heart a tendency to be angry. I ask that you remove from the hearts of all of your people that same tendency, that we would be at the forefront of forgiveness, that we would be known for our kind, compassionate, and non-angry response to difficult situations in the world. In the name of Jesus, amen.